This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Let it go, let it go. Da, 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 da. Honey, where are you at? It's time to record our latest episode of the Hyperion Adventures. But what is going on here?
Hi, sweetie. Check it out. I've got those Black Series figures I picked up all ready for a photo shoot. What do you think?
I think you've been listening to Pat and Charles way too much.
Well, I'm not going to say they didn't give some inspiration to me, but this is all my idea. Look, I have Cassie and Jin in the pilot set up to play as mixed triplets of curling on Hoth. You know, they had a vacation in the Caribbean earlier this year, so nice, cool sports seems pretty appropriate to fight this summer heat. Pretty awesome, right?
Sure. I mean, we have a Disney podcast to record. Can you please play with your dolls later?
There you go again. You know, Pat and Charles would remind you they are figures.
Yeah, well, I love those conversations, guys. They do a great podcast, but they're also a couple of chuckleheads. Those are dolls.
Now, is that the way to talk about our friends? I thought our show was all about positivity.
Yeah, you're right. I'm positive. They've been a really bad influence on you.
Stop. Let's just get this week's Hyperion Adventure podcast out of the way so we can catch the latest episode of Conversations.
Perfect. We'll double their listening audience.
You're such a dork.
Hey, Pat and Charles. Cam here.
And Bub.
And Bub, always.
Thank you.
You kind of remind me of another favorite duo of mine. So this is for you guys.
Catch you.
Conversations, you're the one. You make Star Wars lots of fun.
Yeah, you do.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you. Sing it, Bubby.
Zooby-dooby-doo.
Yeah, Bub.
Pat and Charles, you're so grand. Never afraid to lend a helping hand.
That's true.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with.
Absolutely be strong with.
I see what you did.
Oh,
oh.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you.
May the Force be with you guys.
Love you, dudes.
Hello, welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and this is episode 114. In the early days of the Galactic Empire, one figure stands out amongst the leaders of the Rebellion. This hero led the Galactic Alliance to restore the Republic through the Clone Wars and the Great Galactic Civil War with strength and conviction. Character study, Bail Organa.
Ooh, yes. Bail Organa. Wow. You know, he's got a real depth about him, and like one of those unassuming types of depth. And he's there in the background, but he has a huge effect on the early Rebellion.
Oh, yeah. You know, and when you look at shows like Andor and you see what all Mon Mothma went through in order to, you know, secure financial backers and allies and things like that, it was quite an ordeal. So you can see it from his end. It was very similar, but more in that sort of leadership, senatorial role throughout the Empire, where he had connections, or the Republic then to the Empire, and he had these connections through government that he was then trying to peel away from the Empire.
Yeah, at first, and then starting as an ally, but then really seeing what the bad part of it was going on there. But before we get into all that awesomeness, there's someone that we want to shout out to before we get going on this episode.
Yes, a loyal listener and one of our good friends. We'll give him a thumbs up right now because he's a great guy. And that is Scott.
Absolutely. How you doing, Scott? Hope you enjoy the show. And we're so thankful to have you listening every week with Mom and Dad. And we understand that you are really excited to listen to our show. And that's really cool for us to hear, and excited, especially because, you know, you basically double our listenership. So that's fantastic.
Thanks again, Scott.
Cool. All right.
Also, speaking of doubling things, yes. I feel like this is the perfect time to mention Rob from Jedi Temple Archives podcast.
Because he is double, if not triple, our combined height.
Yes, that is also true. Oh, boy. So, Bail Organa.
Bail Prestor Organa is his actual birth name. Yeah.
That is his birth name, unfortunate as it may be.
Yes.
I didn't name him. It's not my fault.
Neither did I. And I didn't know that, actually. But he's also recognized as the father of the rebellion, which is pretty cool.
That's what I said in the opener. Didn't you hear it three times?
Well, five, but yes.
We're going with three, Westcott. Yes, so he was a human male that hailed from Alderaan, of course, as is mentioned in A New Hope, when Leia mentions that her planet is peaceful and has, you know, people that are not interested in rebelling against the Empire, you guys, at all. Certainly not her family.
Just go to Dantooine, okay?
Yeah. It's like that's where these guys are hanging out. Don't worry about that.
The scum and villainy are.
Yeah. Go blow them up.
Right.
So basically, the House Organa was very prominent on Alderaan. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was the patriarch of that, and adopted Leia and brought her up to kind of follow in his leadership footsteps and be a major influence politically in the galaxy.
Absolutely. And what's really a cool contrast to that is that when he was young, he had sort of much more of an adventurous instinct, that he had designs and plans to go explore the far reaches of the galaxy, which included spending days chasing Purrgil. I mean, and now Purrgil, of course, are like all over the Ahsoka series. But when he met Breha, who's the ruling house of Alderaan, she's, of course, was the crown princess at the time. And of course, they got married and everything. And so their relationship, I think, really changed his perspective on that adventurous, you know, future. He was more of a statesman. And when they got married and he was the queen's spouse, he became viceroy. Which is just so I wonder if, like, he hung out with Newt at, like, the viceroy club, you know, of the Galactic Viceroy Club somewhere.
Yeah, they all had their gold jackets and stuff.
And you know, you mentioned that they adopted Leia, of course we all know that, but Breha couldn't have kids. Actually, she couldn't bear children because she had a really bad injury on her Day of Demand, which is a tradition on Alderaan where at 16 those ascending to royalty, to I guess higher sort of levels of the royalty of the families, would name three challenges, one for each of the body, mind, and heart. And she had a really bad one. And so she couldn't bear children, unfortunately. So, and that was like early in their relationship. So the option for adopting Leia or the little girl was like perfect timing for them.
Yeah. And that's, there's almost a throwaway line mention of that in Revenge of the Sith when Padme gives birth and he says, you know, we were unable to have children. So we'll take the girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And they always wanted a girl. That's true. Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, and as you mentioned in the intro, he didn't start off as the Senator Bail Organa. He was part of the Galactic Republic, a democratic federal union of sort of representatives from some of the most powerful planets. And it was in this role that he had met the newly elected senator from Chandrila, Mon Mothma, very early in their careers, and they became good friends. And that, like you said, laid the groundwork for their extremely intertwined future of the rebellion.
Yeah, and that's just, it's almost necessary, as seen in Andor, to have these people in these leadership positions to help organize this stuff, because you've got this major threat that's encompassing the entire galaxy and just tightening its grip on these star systems, and the only way to cause any sort of real formidable threat is to have attacks small enough that they can't trace, but then a network large enough to make an impact. So you really need to kind of thread that needle in just a way that, that requires a lot of orchestration. So, you know, any connections, any alliances that you can form in doing that are really going to be advantageous throughout the entire struggle, because you never know where you're going to end up and need somebody's help. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't do that overtly, because if you choose wrongly in your supposed alliances or your choosing of people, you could get yourself into trouble. And interestingly, like, and so we first see Bail in Attack of the Clones, a few minor scenes, but he's on the balcony with Palpatine as he's overseeing the newly delivered clone army. He was on that balcony because he was like a close-knit supporter of Chancellor Palpatine, well, Senator Palpatine, and then Chancellor from Naboo, of course, as we all know. But he was a strong supporter of him, and that's why he was part of his inner circle of advisors. And that didn't really come off in the movie, but that's really kind of, I guess you could say, it could lays the groundwork for his future as, like, against him, because he sees what's going on.
Yeah, and, you know, when you've got people that are that close-knit, I would say, and then you start to really see the real them and the problems that they're causing and the strings that they're pulling, it's like, you know, I don't agree with this, and I, you know, I can really effectively stand against you because I know you well enough to know what needs to be done to stop you.
Mm-hmm. And so those notes of, like, suspicion start to sound in the background. It's like, these things aren't necessarily above board. And while my early support of him may have been wrongly placed, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we move on from the Attack of the Clones to the Clone Wars. And this is where he becomes a senator himself.
This is where he also becomes Phil Lamar.
This is true.
Of course, the joke therein is that, you know, he's played by Jimmy Smits in live action. And then Phil Lamar does the vocal lifting in the Clone Wars.
Oh, gosh. So, yes. So he's the... He becomes the senator for Alderaan, and he succeeds Bail Antilles. There's no relation here to Ramus Antilles, nor Wedge, our pal Wedge Antilles, who we talked at length about in episode 62.
Nor fake Wedge.
Nor fake Wedge. He's even further down the list.
Yes. Not fake Wedge either.
No. But Bail Antilles is a relative through marriage from Alderaan. So...
Mm-hmm.
And before he was the senator, before he won that election, he was Alderaan's governor. So he left that post and then went to the Galactic Senate. And that's where he got closer with Mon Mothma. And this is where they start to lay the very loose groundwork for the rebellion. And when you read through some of the books, the novels, and even in the shows, you see that he gingerly sort of puts out feelers, like, are Mon Mothma's politics in alignment with mine? And we saw that, like you said, in the Andor series, where they're very coyly walking around, dancing around the issues at hand to feel them out. Are they actually an ally, or are they an enemy in hiding? And those little political machinations make for really not just cool, but also stressful decisions that the character's making for the future and for their lives and for their family.
Yeah, and you know that the Empire is not above planting spies and things like that. So they may have, you know, you may have someone that you feel like you agree with politically and you can align yourself with. And you know, you still have to have that in the back of your mind. Like, this could be a trap. And so that being said, it's like, well, you know, you really have to know their true motivations before you can reveal yours. But then, like, you reveal yours to find out theirs. So it's really kind of a catch-22 in terms of how do you see someone else's hand without revealing your own.
And, right.
And then, you know, so that's kind of where the trust and just knowledge of being able to read people comes in, you know, so you can know who you can divulge that stuff to.
Mm-hmm. So he slowly gained the trust and the alliances of Mon Mothma, as we talked about, and Anaconda Far, a Rodian. So those three pillars formed a fraction, basically, obviously low key and under the radar, because they found that their alignment to the aggressive moves that Palpatine was making as Chancellor. So they really start to rely on each other to try and dissuade other members to do it, try to work together to change votes on some of the bills that were being passed. But even in that fraction, Bail had the most clout, because not only did they see him as an elder statesman, but it was also his initial relationship with Palpatine that still had that strength, where he had his ear and was able to sort of counsel him. Even while they're both having their own agendas, he still had his ear at this point, and they were trying to use that as much as they could.
Yeah, and, you know, when it comes down to it with pulling the trigger on this thing and really trying to overthrow this empire, you really only get a couple shots, you know?
Right,
So to have everybody in sync with everything and on track with, okay, so this orchestrated attacks and things like that, you really need to have it like a well-oiled machine at that point. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, you've got to finance weaponry and training and like encrypted comms and all that, like all the kind of stuff that it would need to communicate, but in silence, you know?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And in secrecy and in like back rooms and out of the view of the public. And the other cool association that Bail had was with Master Yoda.
Yes.
He was like the sole non-Jedi Force user that Yoda really trusted in. And that, talk about a really strong ally in that, but in both ways, right? Because you've got Yoda and the Jedi Council and the Jedi Order sort of following the orders of the Chancellor and at odds a lot of the times, especially during the Clone Wars. And from the perspective of Palpatine, who obviously he was running them down and had his own designs for them.
Yeah.
But Bail represented someone that he could trust in the Senate, was able to gain information on the level and sort of, you know, get perspectives that way. And that's a huge thing for both of them.
Yeah. And then not only that, then when push comes to shove and Yoda is confronting Palpatine.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then does not do well. It's like, this dude's going to be toast. But then, you know, little bleep bleep, and he gets a hold of Bail and, you know, opens up that maintenance shaft or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And Bail is there waiting to whisk him away to safety. So, you know, if he didn't have that sort of relationship, you know, Yoda would have been in bad shape there.
Very bad. That's exactly what I'd written down too, is if it wasn't for his friendship with Bail, that could have changed the story massively, because he was the one person who wasn't being hunted at the time during the Purge that could actually save him. But before we get to that, when he met now Senator Amidala.
Yes.
And that was in The Queen's Shadow. That's a fantastic series of novels by E.K. Johnson. Queen's Shadow, Queen's Peril, and Queen's Hope. A great, great set of novels. And when they met, in fact, he somewhat saved her life. And sort of, you can see that there's a trust there, obviously. He really believed in her potential. And not only that, he also introduced her to Mon Mothma and as a sympathizer to the rebellion. And all of these things, of course, are playing in, just like you mentioned, with Yoda and the Jedi and Anakin, the whole bit. So all these characters are all sort of intermingling and sort of they're seeing their influences back and forth. And I just want to take a moment here to realize and sort of say again, for the many times that we've said it, and like Tom at the Hyperion Adventures podcast and Rob at the Jedi Temple Archives podcast and many others have said, how important the Clone Wars are for this type of character building and story building, that these are the types of things that give so much context and perspective to the prequel movies that are lost because you only have so much time for the movie. But it's so interesting. And what's a really cool note about Padme and the Handmaidens, because they were still active when she became senator, the only other person aside from Qui-Gon Jinn to pick up on the Handmaidens was Bail Organa. He knew that they were doing the switch, which is really cool to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's you know, I think due to his not only his observation skills, but his people reading.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
As he can really identify, you know, what people are kind of going through and you know, kind of almost empathize with them to a certain degree with what they're going through, then he can also see that, you know, maybe this is not that person that I've been growing so close to and revering and everything. This is someone else. Ah, okay. Well then,
yeah,
the handmaid, you know?
Yeah. He's very present in the moment. Very almost apolitical in the sense that he's more of a interpersonal person versus just like a position. That's obviously a great credit to his character. It's so cool. As time went on and the Clone Wars were just getting more and more hectic, Padme became, you know, sort of a close advisor and friend to Bail, and Bail even had brought her to Alderaan, and they met Breha, and they had really some good time there and getting to know her more and her politics. And as the war grew sort of more dire and Palpatine was more involved in some of the underhandedness of some of the things that were going on, like with Mina Bonteri and Onderon, and sort of directly implicated Palpatine, Bail started to really pull away from his support. And those early day ties that he made with that fraction became stronger and stronger, and actually started to attract more senators, because everyone could start to see that this is really going south really bad, really quickly. And they were the singular group that was set up to not counteract it, but at least have some sort of plan to try and offset Palpatine's plan.
Yeah, at least identify that something was shifting and changing for the much, much worse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And so much so that him and Padme were one of the, among the senators that were kidnapped by Cad Bane and his crew.
Yes.
That one episode of The Clone Wars, which is pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know you've really made it somewhere when Cad Bane captures you.
Oh, to achieve that height.
Yeah, hey, there you go. That's the one.
So, yeah, so him, Mon Mothma, and Padme had, and the Fraction, of course, had, you know, been at odds with Palpatine. And at a lot of these, like, sort of critical Senate bills that he tried to pass, which, of course, were mostly voted for versus their position against, because Palpatine held most of the power and most of the grip on the rest of the Senate, the Galactic Senate. So as we come to the close on the Clone Wars, our previous episode, Ahsoka's exit from the Jedi Order, he was one of the jury members of her trial.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how hard must that have been, too, because we knew that she was obviously the Padawan of Anakin, and there were several times, in several episodes, in fact, in the Clone Wars, where Padme and Ahsoka were together and on adventures, so he knew that relationship was very close to both of them, yet he had to preside over this sham of a story.
Yeah, and that's the issue, is, you know, he's forced into this situation where he's got to, you know, play the part of the impartial council member, but at the same time, he knows it's all BS. And he knows that it's just something that they're doing to rip the fabric of society to mistrust the Jedi. And and it's all a you know, a political attack against the Jedi, and he knows the Jedi. He's friends with a lot of them, and he trusts nearly all of them. So, mm-hmm. so it's a tough spot for him to be in, because he's obviously, he realizes that it's garbage, but, you know, at the same time, what's he gonna do? You know, voice his contempt for the process. Then, right. you know, he's off, and then he's probably in jail, you know? And then he's no good to anybody.
Missing.
Or, yes. yeah, or, like, he got suicided or something. Yeah. yeah.
Or he threw himself out the window from the sixth floor after hitting himself in the back of the head. Yes.
Right, exactly. He had two blaster bolts to the back of the head that he did himself.
And then he threw himself out the glass.
Exactly. Right.
So before we get to Revenge of the Sith and
yes.
the rest of the story, we're going
to
take a quick
we'll
break.
Back
and...
to Revenge of the Sith. Yes.
Right, right. Back to Revenge of the Sith. Exactly. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm married. Does it matter? You'd do that for me? Really? Yeah, I'd like that.
Who are you talking to?
It's Jar Jar from Otagunga Insurance. Yeah, it sounds like a really good deal.
Jar Jar from Otagunga at 3 in the morning? Who is this?
It's Jar Jar from Otagunga.
What are you wearing, Jar Jar from Otagunga? Misa? Misa wearing some mooey bombad khakis. She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, and he's a Gungan, so...
Like an annoying neighbor, Jar Jar is there.
That's a me!
Dewey Insurance is not applicable when rebel vehicles are involved.
How rude!
And we're back. Thank you to our sponsors.
Yes. So this is Conversations. This is by far the worst podcast you've ever heard of, but you have heard of us.
So just before the break, we had basically exited the Clone Wars and about to hit the Revenge of the Sith. And you had alluded to this scene a bit earlier.
Yeah, I like to jump ahead.
Yeah, but it was so important because... Mm-hmm. We have Bail Organa, who's sort of not thrust, but he basically grew into this role as a senator and as a person for the people, mm-hmm. and a pillar of the rebellion, made connections and grew them and fostered them throughout the Clone Wars. And while doing that for the Republic, he also gained the trust of Yoda and therefore the Jedi Council. And he ultimately becomes almost a savior of Yoda and the remnants of the Jedi because of that relationship and what he did, like you said, during the Jedi Purge.
Yeah. And again, you think of what that impact has on the overarching story. And like, you know, Yoda doesn't survive that. Then what happens? Then Force Ghost Obi-Wan, you know, does his best with Luke. Come on. Come on.
We don't get that scene where he actually realizes that he failed. Oh, man, that's juicy stuff. Come on now.
yeah, come on.
So Organa, he took off in his little skiff there to go figure out what was going on, and he landed his speeder outside the temple, and he saw a bunch of clones who were chasing a young Padawan, Zet Jukasa. And he was running on the platform, and he was like basically in this middle of the scene. He had no idea what was going on.
That's also George Lucas's son.
Yes, there we go. And
there you have it.
Obviously, Bail witnessed that they blasted the Padawan down. And he took off and realized that, yeah, this is not going well. So he fled Coruscant on the Tantive III, actually, not the 4, but the 3, which, of course, we talked about before, captained by Ramus Antilles. And so... Now, this battle between Palpatine was in the Senate, right? And he had done, they were dueling, and then...
Yeah, he's throwing Senate chairs at him.
That's right. Okay, yes. And then he falls down, Yoda, I mean, falls down and basically
he
hits...
Pulls he pulls a Cloud City. And in fact, Luke looked at the game tape of that one and was like, yeah, I could probably do that.
Game tape?
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh jeez. That's a lot.
Yeah, so he took a swan dive down to the down to, I think it was an air shaft or something. It wasn't a, you know, a garbage dump. You know, so then he crawls through that like, you know, John McClane in Die Hard. And then on the other side, he's got Hans Gruber. No, he's got Bail Organa to rescue him.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Forcers.
Yes.
So while they're together on the Tantive III, they obviously they realize that this was like a coordinated
stuff just went down.
Yeah, big time. And thankfully, they receive a communication from Obi-Wan. They pick him up, and they're on the ship, and they basically decide that they need to split up.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. Like, you know, in every scary movie, the only path to success is splitting up.
Splitting up, exactly. But you know, ultimately, it's true, though, because that pre-programmed message from the Jedi Temple is saying that, you know, they're recalling all the Jedi, and that would just be more slaughter. So that's the...
Yeah.
And that we see that in Rebels, right? That little holocron.
Yeah. Now, in the A New Dawn book about...
oh, yes.
Kanan
yeah.
Hera, there is a bit like at the beginning, it's like a flashback of young Caleb Doom as a young Padawan, you know, in the temple on Coruscant. And they're talking about how they have this basically radio tower that can send and receive transmissions to disseminate out to all the Jedi.
Mm.
And Obi-Wan is telling the students about it. And Caleb, or young Kanan, mentions it to him about, like, could that be used, like, to warn people?
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, my God.
You know, and then, of course, fast forward to only a couple years later when everything went down and Obi-Wan's like, hey, I guess it's worth a try. And they do it.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's so he planted the idea in his head, and then fast forward to the Rebels series where Kanan has the holocron, where it's the message from Obi-Wan himself is oh, that is phenomenal. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Bail gets the message for a special session of the Senate, and that's where Palpatine becomes Emperor. Amidala is brought back to Bail, and obviously pregnant and giving birth to the twins, and they make it to Polis Massa, a safe haven.
Yes, and of course that's where she gives birth to the twins, in the presence of Obi-Wan and Bail.
Yeah,
and of course that's where and how they decide to split them up.
Yeah,
you know, obviously Obi-Wan takes the boy back to the only family he has on Tatooine, and you know, Bail offers to adopt Leia.
Right, and one of the most pivotal moments in all of Star Wars, C-3PO gets his memory wiped. They take Leia.
Right, exactly, yes.
And as we saw in Tales of the Jedi, Bail saw Ahsoka at Padme's funeral. And that's where the groundwork was laid for some of the stuff we're going to talk about next. Because as we see that his penchant for the rebellion did not end there, and in fact just grew quicker. And he, again, like you said before so eloquently, is that he was able to read people. And he could read that Ahsoka was definitely a person that he was going to align himself with for the rebellion. Now, do you think he was there for when she walked out? That's an interesting question.
It happened right after the trial.
So he, I'm trying to
basically, they were like, you're exonerated. And she's like, thanks. And the council's like, so, you know, we're going to have some cake and stuff if you want. And she's like, no, I'm out of here.
Cake?
I mean, presumably.
Couple sparkler.
Yeah. Welcome back. We missed you. She's like, save it.
So he was key in recruiting Ahsoka, to eventually become Fulcrum. And as we saw in the Ahsoka novel, which is a phenomenal, oh my God, that book. So New Dawn, right, is the one with
Kanan and Hera,
which is a I got to get that book. You've referenced it so many times.
Yeah, it's
so good. Really have to read that book. It's so good.
And it really brings such a depth to Kanan's character.
That's very
so
awesome.
Then you see, not only see, you know, where he came from growing up in the temple to being a Padawan to where you see him in Rebels, but you see everything he's been through in the wake of Order 66 and just his own sort of redemption arc. You know, so by the time his story comes full circle in Rebels, it's very much more touching.
Right. Oh. And how Hera helped him through so much as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Really,
absolutely.
You know, gives even more weight to their relationship.
Yeah.
So in the novel, by the way, it was narrated by Ashley Eckstein, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And one of the quotes that I love from that book is, because she's like, obviously, she's a Jedi, and she's also had much practice at keeping herself hidden. But he figures her out with the help of, you know, well, R2 actually is more of a hindrance. He actually, in a couple of scenarios, he actually hid the information from Bail on behalf of Ahsoka. But Ahsoka asks Bail, like, how did you find me? And he says, it's simple. I followed the acts of kindness across the galaxy. And how awesome is that? Just like from her character perspective, and that's why we all love Ahsoka at this point. But again, it goes back to what you said before, where he can read the person versus reading just the situation, which is a huge benefit to him, but it's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
She essentially becomes the intelligence unit of the resistance, like in clandestinely. He just puts in her position because she's so good at keeping herself hidden. She's now out there working the networks and working these cells. To quasi connect them in a loose manner as a rebellion grows.
Yeah, and it's interesting when, you know, not to get off track, but when we first see her in live action in The Mandalorian, and that whole scene where, you know, she's in the mist and then, like, you know, you hear the sabers ignite and then they're out and she's gone again. Like, that sort of stealth, you know, is not by accident. So she had to, I'm sure, get in and out of places, grab intel, you know, transmit that information to these rebel cells and all, and really just come and go as a ghost or a spectre.
Yeah. Oh. Before we get to the spectre, though, we have the Kenobi series.
We do.
And it's an interesting position because Bail at this point, and Breha and Alderaan for all intents and purposes, they are like the biggest thorn in the side of the Empire because they're, you know, they have power, they have money, and they have influence, and they have the daughter of Skywalker, which is, you know, they're not the greatest thing. And of course, you know, as we saw in the series, is that, you know, they spent their energies in instilling compassion and loyalty and love into her upbringing and, you know, sort of guiding her in the sense that she would learn, like learn from Padme versus Anakin. And they even referred to that in the series, right? But
But like what you were saying before, you're a major threat to the Empire because, you know, when you've got seemingly like the pests sort of at the bottom that are little thorns in the side of the Empire, it's easy to brush them off as, oh, these are people that are unfortunate because they're, you know, they're poor and they're, you know, kind of down on their luck, so they're just mad at the government, you know?
Right.
So it's easy to kind of write that off. When you have a planet that's very successful and has a lot of very affluent and intelligent citizens, and they're causing trouble, that changes the narrative for you. And it's like, okay, well, we can't just blame this on you know, the village idiots trying to cause an uprising because they can't afford their food or whatever. You know, it's like,
right. Yeah.
This is not, you know, a problem of like classes. This is a galactic wide issue that affects everyone equally because they're such an oppressive force.
Right. And it would take a planetary cataclysmic event to take care of the entire problem. But we'll get to that later.
No. That's not fair.
Too soon.
Yes.
How dare you. So, as we continue in the Kenobi series, of course, Leia was kidnapped. Spoiler, by the way, if you haven't seen the Kenobi series.
Oh, man.
And that spurs Obi-Wan to go and get her. And in his haste and impatience, Bail sends him a message basically telling him and pointing them all to Tatooine and Luke, where this third sister shows up and the whole heck breaks loose and the whole bit. Anyways, we won't get into that too deeply, but so Obi-Wan brings Leia back safely to Breha and Bail, and over time, you know, he sends messages to, I'm assuming, encrypted, a much, much better place than the ones that Reva picked up on, but he sends her updates about Leia's development and her upbringing and her growth and everything. So there's sort of a loose association between Obi-Wan and Leia, and as she's becoming much more senatorial in their training and their upbringing of her.
Yeah, and we start to see that in the Forces of Destiny. So yeah, and there's some episodes there that feature a young Leia that's really starting to grow into that role and just still has that sort of independence, we'll say, with getting herself into a little bit of trouble sometimes. kind of the way that we saw her in Kenobi. And then definitely the way we saw her with Tarkin and Vader in New Hope.
Yeah.
Just really bold. And almost recklessly bold. But we see that start to develop very, very briefly in the animated shorts there because, you know, we catch glimpses of her doing the legwork. You know, she's not just telling people to get a hold of so-and-so and all. She's like doing espionage stuff.
Right.
Which is really very crucial to her character. And she learned it all from Bail.
Yeah. And we see her pop up in Rebels. She's like a 16 or 17 year old high ranking member from Alderaan doing a mercy mission. But of course it's not. It's about getting some ships for the rebellion on the down low. You know, but she plays it perfectly. And speaking of which, the ghost crew, or the specters, as we would call them, they had an interesting connection to Bail because, of course, Fulcrum, which in this case is Ahsoka, mm-hmm. she identified these rebels on Lothal as a very efficient and hardworking and successful crew, offsetting the local Imperial advances, mm-hmm. you know, getting in, getting out, and doing the damage. Like you had said way back when we started this episode, you work small, you attack small, you get out, but it's still a highly effective maneuver.
Right, and one or two of those are a pain in the ass to the Empire, but when you've got this on a larger scale, multiple attacks on different Imperial strongholds and things like that, you're going to start to really make a dent. And you can only do that if you're orchestrating attacks here, then there, and then that one. You know, so you can really start to turn the tides when you bring all that together. And that was the entire point of Andor and even to a certain degree, Rogue One and Rebels. Because you've got all of these groups that are, you know, willing to do whatever it takes to come up against this brute force, this Imperial stronghold throughout the galaxy, because they need something better. They need something more just for the galaxy.
Absolutely. And Leia was a huge champion of that, because she eventually did find out about Bail and Breha's sort of behind-the-scenes support of this rebellion. On one side, they're trying to remain neutral within the new empire, right? And sort of trying not to be, you know, taken hostage, or at least captured because of their treacherous ways. But on the DL, they had operatives like Ahsoka, who was linking not only the Ghost crew on Lothal, but they were also Masasi group, which was led by General Donana eventually, and Phoenix Cell, Usados. So all these little cells that they were doing in the background using clandestine operatives to link, but also, like we talked about prior in other episodes, plausible deniability for any link to a larger sort of grouping, little seeds of rebellion. It's like, hey, you should do this, and sort of coordinated on a very small scale. And then it still goes to Mon Mothma, who had then connections to Luthen Rail and, well, obviously saw Guerrera, but we'll get to him a bit later, and his tactics. But then you had, like you just said, that you got Leia, who was then working on the other side of the Senate and still trying to work the political side of it. And that balancing act is extremely, extremely tough. And if any one of those connections were to be assigned to any of those groups, they would have collapsed in a second.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's speaks directly to the effectiveness of their orchestration of this stuff. And obviously that either doesn't happen or doesn't happen anywhere near as effectively without Bail's knowledge of how to really do that.
Mm-hmm. As evidence rose, the coil was tightening. There's only so many times you can avoid suspicion. And with the creation of the ISB, the Organas, and essentially Alderaan, that circle of suspicion just kept tightening and tightening and tightening on them. Because there's only so much you can do, right, to avoid that. And
absolutely,
all the other systems, like you said way back when, you know, like that fist is tightening get across the galaxy, and they've got all these worlds under control, and Alderaan wasn't one of them. So there's only so many suspects at that point. And he did his best to hold them off for a time because of his skills with, you know, people skills and talking and that kind of thing. But really, I think the fulcrum, not to use a term like that, but was Thrawn. And the way that he was able to read a situation really did tip that towards identifying the rebellion and their major players as threats.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, again, that's what the risk was, you know, and all of these, you get all these people together that are willing to take whatever risks they have to in order to take this group down. Including and not limited to losing not only their lives, but the lives of literally everyone on their planet.
Everybody. Oh, that's so true. And of all their operatives. I mean, the ultimate goal is to throw down the Empire.
Absolutely. And so, you know, if your entire planet, now I don't know that they envision their planet being blown up, but, you know, you saw that demonstration on Jedha City. And so anyone that, you know, I would imagine that the intel that Leia sent to them included that, but I feel as though the people of Alderaan weren't aware of that at the time. But at the same time, it's like, look, if we lose a planet or two, you know, in overthrowing these people, we've only lost a planet or two.
Right, versus the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, even though Thrawn, I mean, again, this is tying right into the current series going on right now with Ahsoka, was taken off the playing field by those last moments of the Rebels series. And, and Saw, who, like you just said, on Jedha, he identified Tarkin's initiative, literally, that's what was called the Death Star. And he identified that as a major threat, that they were building some sort of super weapon. And the rebellion, because, and Mon Mothma, we're talking here, Bail Organa, all these major players because of his tactics, they downplayed his warnings.
Absolutely.
But he was the one who knew that you guys are just waiting for a smackdown. And, you know, the Battle of Scarif to get those plans off of Scarif. And shout out to Ro. And she, you know, those plans were sent up. And that was Leia who, of course, had those plans. And it was sent off. And we see that at the very end of Rogue One. And heading off into A New Hope. That these things that they're all setting into play, like you said, is that the greater the ends justify the means, I guess, at that point, right? Whoever needs to be sacrificed for the greater part.
I mean, once everything has amped up to this, you can't afford to be in the shadows any longer.
Yeah.
And so you need to, at that point, you know, you come out of the shadows and strike hard and do what you need to do, outing yourself as a rebel or a terrorist or an insurgent, however the Empire wants to paint you.
Right, wants to spin it. Yeah.
But in reality, that's what it takes. It's like at this point, it's now or nothing. You've got to pull out all the stops in order to put a dent in this so that their head spins for a second, and then you can, you know, attack in a way that, you know, ends up in the Death Star blowing up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the ultimate goal, because after the Emperor dissolved the Senate, Bail knew that the writing was on the wall. They knew that their daughter had fled in the Tantive IV at this point. They didn't know where she was, but she was being pursued by Vader, and he went back to Alderaan. And as we saw in A New Hope, but 2 days after the attack on Scarif, the Death Star arrived over Alderaan, and that was it.
That was it. Yeah. So, you know, then that is the canon end to Bail Organa, but his influence and his actions far outlived him in terms of, you know, the good that he did for the galaxy.
Yeah, and all of that came from a line in the recorded message. Years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars.
Yep.
How freaking amazing is that?
Yeah, again, you've got these throwaway lines, really, that end up being like just these opportunities for expansion and exploration of these characters and really enriching their stories based off of a line or two.
So cool. That's so good. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
So that's Bail Organa.
Yeah.
And now we're gonna talk about our socials.
Well, not we, you.
Me? Oh, it's my job today? Okay. Well, all right. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. However, the very best place to listen is on our very own website, which is conversations.com. We're on facebook.com/conversations. Is it meta.com/conversations now? I don't follow.
No, it's still Facebook.
I don't know how this Facebook works.
No, I know you don't. It's still Facebook.
I don't like it.
Meta's the parent company.
Okay. All
and
right.
The parent's not really paying attention to the kid, but yes.
Okay, so basically it's like, you know, Meta went out for cigarettes and hasn't been back in 3 years. Got it. Okay. So then we're on Twitter. That's still a thing, right? @Swations.
Well, it's X, but yeah, we'll still call it Twitter.
Is it X?
Yes, it's called X.
Or is the parent company X?
No, it's actually X.
The parent company's Twitter. The platform is X.
I'm just following Tom's lead. He still calls it Twitter, so we're still calling it Twitter.
We're on X. Instagram, conversations.
Just a second. Instagram. No, you're right. It's still Instagram.
It better be. You jerk. Oh, my gosh. This is the worst. I can't do this anymore.
This is truly the worst.
Social media, we have to break up. I'm not doing this. All right. So all of that nonsense and more is on our link tree, link.tree/conversations. And as long as we're going with Lynx, we are proud founding members still, I think, of the Red 5 Podcast Network. And that is bio.link/red5. You can find us and them and all of our cool friends over there. We've got an Etsy shop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With some of our designs and commercial goods and such. And that is Commerce Suations on Etsy. Is that in the link tree? It should be in the link tree.
It is in the link tree. And
it's in the link tree. Good
traction. It is there. Yeah. And we're getting some good traction there. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. So we got a couple new designs. We're working on some others. And we got some good old designs.
Exactly. Which will be new to Etsy, but old to us. But yes, I got to upload some more ones of our classics up there.
To us. So that being said, I think that'll do it. And I guess you can take us out like a Death Star blast to the planet.
Commence primary ignition.
So I think I'm going to do this one off the cuff because I feel like I'm feeling lucky.
Awesome. Hello and welcome to Carverswations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat. And this is episode 114 in the early days of the Galactic Empire. Nope, that didn't do it.
Hello and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm still getting ready, and this is episode 114. In the early days of the Galactic Empire, one figure stands out among those in the rebellion. Nope, that's...
Okay. Hello! Hello! Welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and this is episode 114. In the early days of the Galactic Empire, one figure stands out amongst the leaders of the rebellion. This figure led the Alliance to restore the Republic throughout the Clone Wars and the early days of the Star Wars.
Feeling lucky tonight, right?
Shut up.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content,
make sure you head over to Red5Network.com.
You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more.
All wings report in.
It's the Red 5 Network.